Praise the Lord. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, for this group of believers that are gathered together today to praise you for your word and praise you for the place of heaven that's within our hearts, within our minds, and where our brother's gone on there. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the speakers, that they have the tongue of the learned and that of the wise. We thank you, Lord, for the musicians, that they're anointed hands at this service, Father. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a small clip here of some photos that were put together by the family I'd like to share with you.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. We've been there 10,000
Scudder, Papa, Poot, Pooter, Grandpa, Dad, Eddie, Ed. It doesn't matter what name you know him by or how you know him. We can all agree on one thing. He was a man who was easy to love because he was full of it. Love, I mean. Ed was truly one of a kind. The kind of man with a lust for life, the kind of man who was strong in his faith and convictions, and the kind of man who everyone enjoyed being around. His laughter and playfulness were contagious, and whether you'd known him for years or were a stranger he just met, he'd make you feel welcome and leave you with a smile. Even if he was a cantankerous old poot, everybody loved Ed. Even his orniness was charming. He was a kid at heart, flying planes, playing games, and always cracking jokes. You couldn't help but feel a little more cheerful and childish in his presence. It was just fun to be near him. Ed didn't love lightly. When he loved big. Whether it was the Lord, birds, model planes, travel, or his family, he was all in. Of course, his biggest love of all was Pauline, the love of his life. He couldn't get enough of her, and he was never afraid to let it show, no matter where they were, who was around, or how hilariously inappropriate it might have been. He always was always trying to get some more love from Pauline, that is. He loved that woman no matter what. As for his kids, he was a great father. When they were young, he would always bring home something exotic after being away driving his truck. Whether it be a new toy, Oreos, a dog, or a monkey, he would come home with stories and open arms and was always welcomed with the love from his family. When his kids started their own families, we would all meet here in Texas and enjoy summers on the scudder boat. Those days never seemed to end, exploring the lake, jumping off the docks, and fishing in his favorite spots. The quality time we all experienced on the scudder boat is something we will cherish forever. And then there were his grandkids and great-grandkids, perhaps better known as his pistol grips, whom he loved and treated as if they were his own. Whether he was teaching them about planes, taking them on a boat, giving them their first sip of his beer, or weirdly enough, letting them draw on the bottom of his feet with pens, you could tell he enjoyed every minute he had with them, and you could tell they did too. He was an amazing grandfather. His love for Jesus was admirable, unwavering. He lived his life for the Lord, trusting his word and guidance, trying to live in his image and likeness, kind, giving, forgiving, casting judgment aside, he was a friend to all. I know I've said it 100 times, but if it's one word that could describe him, it's love. It radiated from him. You could see it in his eyes, kindness, compassion, and gentleness. You could always feel it when he was around. Scudder was a lover. And you know that he's up in heaven right now, bringing joy to all those around him, making friends with everyone he meets, continuing to spread the love and laughter. Who knows? That old twit is probably playing dominoes with the angels and cracking them up with all of his best stories while he waits patiently for the love of his life. Either that, or he's yelling at her to hurry the heck up so she can bring him a Pepsi and give him a smooch. Heaven got a good one this week, and we are all blessed to have known him and been a part of his life. I love you, Scudder. We all do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen.
Well, after hearing that, what was that first nickname you said?
Scudder.
I felt it is appropriate to sing this because it sounds like he was a man full of joy and love, and he was a good man, a good father. So I think he's up in heaven having a joyous time with his father. Oh, I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
because I knew Pauline first. When I first come to the ministry, Pauline was she was a trainer, really, weren't you? So back in those days, your name, if you were an old timer, was in a book, and you were booked by your zip code. And so when I first came, I came just like they came. I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached. And Brother Copeland, when he preached, I'm going to read it to you because this is exactly the way I see why all of you are here today. So bear with me. It's Ephesians 1, verse 9. Brother Copeland, somewhere up in Michigan, preached this message. He was making known the mystery of the will of God to the people. So he was called and still is called to go about making known the mystery of the gospel to the people that they've been redeemed. And so Pauline and Ed heard that message, and here's all of us in this today. Verse 10, it's Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So what I see out of that is I can see Ed telling Pauline, it may have been the other way around, usually it's the, okay, said, bless God, we're going to Fort Worth. And I'm going to go to Fort Worth and I'm going to drive that rig. And he had a mind of his own. You know, he'd say, hey, this is the way I see it. And that's okay as long as you see you were in Christ and that you were redeemed out of a world where everything was wrong. I don't know about any of you. Everything may have been wonderful for you growing up and the life that you live. But I tell you, when he heard this gospel, that God made known the mystery of the gospel to all that would hear it and come running to him, and Ed and Pauline ran with their children and came here and gave their life. Mm-hmm. And I look at many here that did the same thing. Yes. So I can tell you right now, Ed started, I guess he was one of the first ones. Johnny Hill may have been one of the first ones, but it wasn't long till we all started gathering. And so now, Ed says, hey, I don't care what you think about this. I'm leaving here. I'm going over. And so when he drew his last breath, all he did was he just moved out of that body. He just moved over and was in the presence of God. And he said, now you guys deal with it. Hey, you deal with it. And you go now and you take care of this old wretched body because I'm through with it and I'm waiting for that resurrection to come back. Mm-hmm. So I admired Pauline and Ed. I didn't get to know their children. I did get to know Joyce really well. She worked with me. And so she trained us and taught us everything about this ministry we know. So I honor you today, and I encourage you today. You keep pursuing this call of God that was on your life, that when you came here, we're in that gathering. I look out here at you old timers, and I know, hey, we're in that gathering. Aren't you glad to be a part of that gathering? And I'm telling you, God is gathering people from all over this nation, all over this world, to come and be a part of this great making known the mystery of the gospel. So Ed's desire would be that every person that's sitting in the sound of his memorial would know the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the knowledge of Jesus. And that's what I got to say about Ed.
Mm. Praise the Lord. Good word. Brother Dale, come on up.
Afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon. You got to hold your mic. You do. Yeah, you. But I want to record it.
Oh, you want to record it? Okay.
So, Bobby called me. He said that you're on a short list of people to speak. I'm representing, you would say, the road crew, right? So I got here in about 19, 88. What? When did Ed leave? 89, 90? When did he leave and retire and go back? 92. So I worked with him about 3 years. So how many of you guys are on the road with Ed? Raise your hands. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we've known Ed a long time. I pushed a lot of road cases with him, right? Unloaded a lot of trucks, set up the set. You too. You too. So I enjoyed him. Yeah, I'd go over to his house, look at his pigeons, hear his stories. It was real good. But, you know, I was, Lord, you know, what do you got for me to say? So I woke up this morning. He gave me 3 words, okay? History, present, and future. History, present, and future. So what's history? And we're talking about history today, right? Memorial, meaning memory, meaning members, meaning to be attached. We're still attached to Ed. Ed's still attached to us. Present, meaning right now. Faith is now. God is now. We're always in the now. Future is what? Tomorrow. Right? You want to keep going. So then he said, now remember this, Dale. Eternity is in all three of those words. It's in all three of them. Eternity started way before history did. So God is in all three of those positions at the same time. Ed's in that position now. So that's how we can stay attached to him, right? As God is present in all areas. He's in our future. He's in our history. I know he's in our present. Guy asked me one time, he said, what's heaven? It's an eternal now. It's the eternal now. The eternal now just keeps going on and on and on. So he's not having a life after death experience, is he? He's having a life after life experience, right? So this is...
He's probably
up there raising pigeons with his son. You think so? Because they raise pigeons together, yes. Yeah, they're sending messages back and forth. Ephesians 3, says it's 1 John. I had these notes here, guys. That's it right there. Thanks. I guess I didn't need them. 1 John 3, 2. 1 John 3, verse 2. You guys know this verse. Beloved, now. That's that present word. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Now, I don't want to wait around till I go to the other side to see him as he is so that I can be like him, right? So I can see him now. Well, I saw him in Ed. I saw Christ in Ed. So I can take that portion of God that I saw in Ed. It can change my life. I see a portion of God in each one of you, right? So we're all an influence. And I thank God it was an influence. I could see in those pictures the light in his eyes. It was great. It was great. He did. Well, I love you. Thanks for letting me talk. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
Yeah, future.
Right.
Right?
Right.
All right. Thank you all.
All right, Dale, your blessing.
You are too.
Is anybody from the old road crew have anything they want to say? Oh, Lord. Get your watch. I see it up there. Yeah, I'm holding this mic.
You know, Ed and I, we get out in the road crew and he'd say, two heads are better than one. With the two heads together, nobody can outbeat us, outsmart us, and outdo us. And we do the big old road boxes. and they were heavy. But we tried to figure out who's going to sting who first, just like I do with Dale all the time. So we made our job fun, no matter how hard it was and how long it took us to disassemble the stages and that. But we made it fun. And that's where he's at now. He's up to having fun. And he's looking down at us and saying, keep going, keep having fun down here, because soon you're going to be up here with me. And that's all I got to say.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't he? Oh, yeah. Anybody else before I bring my guest up here? Yes, sir. You can sing, too, if you want to. Yeah.
Okay. I'm giving him the mic, you see.
Now, I never was on the road crew because for whatever reason they felt like they needed me here. But Ed was my first supervisor when I came to work here. And I'm just going to share one of my favorite memories. We went on vacation together. Went up to
Arkansas.
I was trying to think of the name. Yeah, Greer's Faring Lake. Greer's Faring Lake. And we went out. Of course, we took his boat. We went in my vehicle and pulled his boat. What a sight that was. And we went out, and we wet so many hooks and never got a bite. And we'd go back into the marina at night, and people were carrying fish in 5-gallon buckets, you know. And I looked at Ed. I said, Ed, what's the deal? He said, I don't know. So I went up and asked one of them, where did y'all catch all those fish? And all they would tell me is we had a guide. That night I'd gone out to the car to get something, and one of the little boy that was with the guys that caught all the fish, he was out there playing. I said, aren't you the one who caught all those fish today? Yeah, yeah. Where'd y'all get them? Johnson's Hole. So the next morning we went to the marina and we bought us a map to Johnson's Hole. And the guy there at the marina said, oh, you'll never get that boat back there. Well, anybody knows Ed, that just spurred him on. He wasn't in his vocabulary. I'm telling you, we went out there that day and we caught 55 sand bass that were over 2.5 pounds each. We started cleaning those things and cats came out of the woodwork. I don't know where they all came. But we had so much fun. My kids always called them Granny and Granddad. That's what my kids called them. So anyway, I just want to share that. Everybody loved it, old Poot.
I think that's what Brad Bedford called him. I was talking to him on the phone. I told him what was going on, and he said, that old Poot? And I'm like, okay, there's like a common thread here. Wow, it's good news. There's one thing I can say about the family, seeing y'all through this entire process. I watched y'all be a biblical model of how this worked out. I saw y'all walk into a place. There was a place of some grief, and there was a place of joy. Grief, joy. I saw y'all switch back and forth, and y'all were in faith throughout the entire process. And I thank you. You're a model, because you don't always see that. You see people go down that road of sorrow. And y'all, I saw no spirit of sorrow on any of it. And it set an example of what we are going to share with the world. You know, this word that we teach is something. It'll change somebody's life, won't it? It will. Clyde, come on up here.
Thanks, Pastor. I was sitting there, and it's just so many memories flooding back and seeing the pictures. And it was something else. I'm asking myself, am I going to be able to talk? So anyway, I wrote down a few things. But anyway, I think it was January I was here and came for the ministers' conference. And I just felt a strong impression that I need to, you know, call Ed and Pauline, stop by. And so I did. and I'm glad I did. It's interesting. He come in and had his walker. Pauline is sitting there, and Ed, he finally come in there, and he sat down, and he looked at me, and he goes, he said, Clyde, everybody around here all gray. He said, you look timeless. Your hair black. Your beard is black. Florida's been good to you. I said, yes, Ed, Florida's been good to me, but it's not Florida. The reason my hair is black and my beard is black is called Just for Men. Oh, my. Oh, glory. You know, it was priceless. You know, being here at this ministry, we talk about the, you know, being led by the Spirit. And it's so important that we pay attention to the promptings that we have on our inside. Sometimes the Spirit of God will prompt you to do something, go visit somebody. Maybe you hadn't seen them in a while and talk to them. And it's so important that you do that. I've had times where I regret it, where the Spirit of God prompted me to go talk to somebody and just say hello. And I said, I'll do it. And before I knew it, they had already crossed over to the other side. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm sorry I missed that. But I'm so glad I was able to come and get to go over to be with Ed. And so good to see so many of you that are here, been here through the years. I've been going since 1990, and I'm like, man, where does the time go? It really doesn't seem that long to me. If I didn't see the number, I would say I've been gone about 4 or 5 years, you know, because I still come back frequently. John Maxwell wrote a book years ago called Running with the Giants, and in that he take a character out of the Bible, and what lessons can we learn from the person as we run along with him? He pulled out Abraham and, you know, David and a bunch of different people. And what lessons can we learn from them? And he shared on that. And I feel like that God gave me an opportunity to run with one of his giants here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Moved here to Fort Worth in 1979. I was 21 years old. And for those of you that like to do math, I'm 60 now, okay? And I don't feel 60, but that's what the number says. And I moved here and believing to get a job to work at the revival capital of the world. I've been listening to Brother Copeland on the radio and for about a couple of years, and I just felt impressed that I was supposed to move here. So I packed my family up like the Beverly Hillbillies. In a 4x6 U-Haul trailer, and we moved with all our worldly belongings and came here. And at the time, I was driving a 1971 Plymouth Valiant that was an ex-police car. I kept it clean, though. Always waxed it and everything. Matter of fact, mosquito land on it, they slip up and fall because the thing is so slick. So you take care of what you have, you know. And so I brought everything here. U-Haul told us that you have to take your trailer back to another location, otherwise you had to pay us a huge fee. My deposit fee would have been like $700. And so I drove my car after I left unloaded everything. Drove my car up to Texarkana, Texas, about 20 miles outside of Texarkana, Texas. I threw a rod in my car, and I didn't know what that was. I just hear this loud clunking noise, and all of a sudden, I could only drive about 20 to 30 miles per hour. And so I had my family with me, my daughter and my wife, and I got a hotel room, and I said, well, we'll get that engine looked at tomorrow. I didn't know how severe it was. And so I got up, and I got the trailer back to where it belonged and asked the guy, I said, so you know where I can go and get this taken care of? They said, man, you need a new engine. I'm like, a new engine? You know, revelation. I was young, dumb, and lack experience. And so I finally found a place to take the car to and just leave it there. And I told him eventually I'll get it to bring it back to Fort Worth. And so here I am. Had to catch a Trailways bus back here, a Greyhound, one of them, with my family. And I come in for an interview with Dennis Terry, who was personnel department. He is the head of that at the time. Now they call it human resources. And Dennis hired me the first day. He said, I believe God sent you here and that he has some things for you here. And I knew I did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have left Virginia. And so at this time, none of this was out here, of course. There were only two houses up here on this hill. Doug Neese lived in one. Let's see, who was the other one? Now, Jerry was down at there by the at the head of the trailer down there by the shop. Ken and Judy Kinsler lived up here. And then Ed and Pauline, they had a 70-foot trailer down across from where the daycare is on the opposite side of that. And so when I came out here, of course, I didn't have a job. God made a way for that to happen. And I didn't have a ride because I didn't have a car. So I started going to Jerry Savelle's church. I caught the bus. I never rode a bus before. And Billy Rash and Dick Pierce, they were attending the church that day. For those that are old timers, they know who these names are. And they said, we'll give you a ride to work. So they came all the way from Arlington, drove around Fort Worth. I lived over by TCU and would pick me up and bring me to work. Except they came to work early. Well, my supervisor eventually said after about a week or so, I need you to come in at this time, which was later than when they were coming. I said, God, I need some help. I need some help. I don't know what else to do. I had told Ed about my dilemma. And he said, well, if you can get your vehicle back here, we'll see what we can do. And thank God for favor. Somebody at Jerry Savelle's church at the time was Overcoming Faith Center. They said, we'll loan you our van. You can go bring the car back, pull your car back. So I did it all by myself. I'm like, I probably wouldn't ever do that again, but I just had a rope tied to the car coming down I-30, you know. Yeah, I was all by myself. You're talking about ultimate of faith. And but God is with you, amen? And so I get back here. I pull it out here to the mountain. And, of course, you know, we had the shop down there. And, Dennis, it's great to see you again. And there was I got to talk with Ed Hodgman. And he had told me, he said, Clyde, we'll do whatever we can to help you. And I said, I don't know how to go about doing anything here. And he said, I'll find an engine for you. And he said, I'll put it in for you. And he did. And he charged me $65. And that was it. And so I don't know what my future would have been like if it wasn't for Ed intervening on that day. And because I didn't know what else to do. I'm here to tell you that God always has a ram in the bush. Amen. Amen. And Ed was my ram. Praise the Lord. And so since I left here, you know, my mother always told me never take for granted the people that you meet in life. God put people in your path for a reason. And she said, don't ever forget them. And so I would always send birthday cards. Matter of fact, Ed just had a birthday. It was February. And Christmas cards and things like that. Even though I've been gone all these years, you know, trying to do what my mama said do, you know. And but it's always just a pleasure just to be with, just to be around them. You know, some people are contagious. You know, you get around them. There was a time when I was here, I went through a divorce. My wife said she had enough, and she just packed up and left me with two kids. And but, you know, Ed and Pauline, they were here, and I thank God for my kids, even though they were 3 and 5 at the time. They were patient with me. Sometimes people in doing the will of God, you just have to be patient with them. They have trying circumstances in life. They may not be talking about it all, but just be patient with them, and whenever I would bring my kids out, you know, Ed would always be patient with them. Hey, y'all want to ride on the bike or something like that, you know? And my daughter, who just today is returning from a missions trip in Jamaica, she had wrote on Facebook that all the memories that she had, you know, from us to Ed. And so you never know, in walking through life, how many lives you're really going to touch. And I'm just looking here. I wrote down a couple of things. And so I say this here. A lot of people, they see me. And, you know, since I've left here, I've preached 5 different continents, traveled, you know, a bunch of miles. And but I heard somebody say years ago, if you're ever driving down the road and you see a turtle sitting on the fence post, realize he has some help getting there. So if your turtles don't climb fence posts. So I tell people, when you see me in life, just remember I had a whole lot of people that helped me to get where I'm at. And I try not to ever forget what they've done for me. A couple of other things I'll say here. I hadn't planned on preaching, but when I think I worked in production department for a while, and then I wound up getting on the crusade team, and I worked there 8 of the 11 years that I was here. And occasionally I would get to, for short trips, you know, I rode in the truck with Ed a couple of times, you know, and I don't know, it was just great being around him. You know, he always made you feel welcome. And I'll never forget one day I'm where the TV department is now. It used to be where our crusade building used to be, and my office was upstairs. And so one day I'm sitting in my office, and I get a phone call from my mom. She told my dad had just passed. And, of course, you know, I was a little bit taken back because of that. But nevertheless, in spite of all the challenges that I face, God always had somebody there that would put the arm around you. You know, Ed was one of those ones that put an arm around you and just everything's going to be all right. And he was a great encourager, encouraged me in many ways. I like to reflect back on memories that I've seen and walking with. I think of the motorcycles, the Homan pigeons, and oftentimes you take the Homan pigeons. Matter of fact, this past Sunday, I use an example of Ed at church, and I'm preaching. I said that Ed had he raised these Homan pigeons, and occasionally he would take the Homan pigeons on a trip. And I said he would let them out, and whenever he would get back home, the pigeons would always be back home. And of course, I would use that story to relate to somebody that hadn't been at church in a while. But I thought about it. So Pauline called me on Monday, and I was like, man, I just talked about Ed yesterday. Wow. But those Homan pigeons. And then the crusade team, I think in 1983, Brother Copeland cut the crusade team down from about 30 people to about 5 people. And I was one of the 5. And but then how close together we really became on the crusade team, because everybody had one another's back. We did multiple jobs, and whatever it took, we just did it until we got done. And when we were working with the guys in the convention center, you know, Ed has his way of loading the trucks and the way he wanted everything on there. And sometimes the union had their way, and Ed always won out. The duplicators, you know, running the wall and sack duplicators, you saw those. That's how we produce a lot of the cassettes on the road from Brother Copeland's messages. Ed would take the master, make the copies and everything, and then we'd go out and sell them. And but it's great teamwork. I always felt like, you know, being here was like a family. Another thing, P-Knuckle. Ed loved to play P-Knuckle, and Ed loved to win, too. When I met my wife, Marion, I think I was single for about 5 years, and I met my wife. Ed gave me some wisdom. He said, whenever I would travel out on the road, speaking of himself, he said, been out for a while. He said, I come back. And he said, I take 3 50-cent pieces and I throw them out in the backyard, and I tell the kid that there were 4 out there. And he said, you have all the time you want with your wife after that. Yeah. Y'all taking notes, right? Yeah. The scripture tells us that many are called, but few are chosen. And Brother Copeland said one day, the only reason few are chosen is because only a few showed up. And I'm so glad Ed showed up, because we all come here, first of all, for a vision. There was a vision that was coming across through the airwaves and also and through the meetings. And Revival Capital of the World was something big that the Spirit of God was impressing upon all of our hearts. And I've seen a lot of people come, a lot of people go. And I see people that stayed regardless of what was going on. Some people get up and leave themselves. Some people are dismissed, but many people just get up and leave themselves. And just like in life, you just got to walk through things. And you got to help people through things. Brother Copeland is doing the best that he can do to obey God and do what God called him to do. And he trusted God that we would hear his voice and then do what we had to do in our various areas of work. And so I thank God that I had the privilege to walk alongside Ed. He's such a blessing. There are others that were there, but Ed particularly, he was such a blessing. He was a stabilizer on the road, you know, and traveling and everything, whether it's from California, Philadelphia, Miami, wherever we went, he was a stabilizing force in the ministry. And I thank God for him. We'll be forever grateful for him. And the love that he showed, you know, toward Pauline, was a great example for husband and wife team. He exemplified that. He was always proud of his wife. And my wife used to tell me years ago, she said, nobody really knows me. You know, I'm just Clyde's wife. So I said, okay, we can change that. So I would start, on social media came along, I started putting a picture up and start talking about it and things like that. And next thing she said, you know what? Everybody knows me. So I get that from Ed, you know, just the one that you're with, be proud of them. Love them, you know. And of course, I don't do things to try to impress people. I'm just me. If you don't like me, that's your problem. I like me, and my wife really loves me, you know, and she think the world of me. So, and just like Pauline and Ed, you know, I just love the example that I saw through you guys all the way to the end, to January, last time I saw you together. And so I'm privileged to be able to stand here with you today and just share some memories. And we look forward to seeing Poot one day. And of course, everybody probably know this now, those that are especially older. Where they live now, there's a special place that they call Scudderville. That's where they live, in Scudderville, right off of Boat Club Road. And if you haven't been there, you do you good to go by there. Yeah, Pigeon Coop County, yeah. Yeah, so if I can close with a scripture, I'd like to do that. And thank you for your patience with me today. And again, I'm really touched. Oh, my. We're all here on the earth for a period of time. And what we do really makes a difference. And again, you never know the life of all the people that you're going to impact. And so just be the person that God has called you to be and help wherever you can help. Again, I wouldn't be where I'm at now if it wasn't for Ed Hodgman. Amen. Oh, my God. You ask the pastor to read a scripture and the whole Bible comes up. I just close with John chapter 14. Somebody asked me, they said, when I shared that, you know, Ed had passed, I shared with several people. And I said, I'm going to Fort Worth for the memorial. They said, you going to Fort Worth for the memorial? I said, yeah. I said, Ed was my friend. Amen. My mom always told me, don't just have words, have deeds to go along with them. So I close with John 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We thank Jesus for all that he's done and making it possible that we all can join again together. We have a great family reunion. And I'm sure Ed is already up there getting things together for the rest of us that's going to come in another 100 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, blessings to you, blessings on the family. And I want you to know that I love you. And if I can do anything to help you, feel free to call. Do not hesitate, please. And because you're my friends. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome, sir. Come on up. I saw somebody. Come on. Kelly. Wow. I've only been here 16 years, but I met you right off the bat.
Holy Spirit nudged me to get up earlier, and I didn't, so here I am. Coming from a little bit different perspective, Annette talked about called here, the vision, come a running here. Clyde said the vision brought you. I came here for a job. In 1982, the ministry really was starting to grow then, and they needed, we were making, I think at one point, like 2 million cassette tapes a year. So they needed somebody that could run the machines and all that kind of stuff. So I did. Long story short, I got here. And my first, I was on nights. My wife and I had been married maybe a year. And I remember calling her one night because it was the first time we'd been apart. You know, it's like, where are you? And I called her one. I said, honey, it's okay. I'm not going to be here but a couple of weeks. These people are crazy. So, you know, and you figure these things out in hindsight, and there was a lot of people that just were figuring it out. They came here, whatever they were, and pretending. Sometimes you just pretend. If you don't got the faith thing down, you do the faith thing, and it's just not real. And it doesn't do anything for a youngster that's just like, what is going on? So, but then there were great men, and you've heard from a couple of them. Great men. I mean, these guys, they had the light blue T-shirts. I'm back there packing the tape. That's who I was around, Clyde, Nick Wright, great men of God. These are great men of God. And so I realized, as I stayed, obviously, and there's still some crazy people here. But I look back on it, and somebody was asking me about my closeness with Lynn Meek, and I got to work with Lynn Meek on the radio broadcast in like 1985, and I think about it, and what it was, it's like Lynn's real. He was a real person. And so Ed was one of those people. I'm looking for people, like the pretenders and stuff, it just don't do nothing for me, you know. And I think what it was around, I got on the road, but it may have been before I was on the road, and I think Ed threw something at me. And I thought, that's a real person. So I just want to give honor there to Ed, real person. And, you know, you think about a Scudder and a Poot and whatever, you won't find that in the book of Poot or the book of Scudder, but I'm telling you, this is a great man of God, because it's God looks at the heart. And the heart of Ed Hodgman was all after God. Amen. Thank y'all.
Praise the Lord. Well, the goodness of God is what it's all about, isn't it? The last part of that of John 14, verse 6, says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't know Christ, you've heard some testimonies here today about the goodness of God, how it will change an ordinary man and make him an extraordinary because of who's inside, correct? So today, if you don't know him, just touch base with anybody you've seen step up here, and we'll pray with you, and in a moment's notice, your life can be changed. And we're so thankful for that. We're about to conclude this service. We're going to play a piece here at the end. We've got a sign-in book at the back. We didn't have it when it first got here. We really would like you to put your name, the information needed, so the family can get back in touch with you. And we're thankful for what the Lord has done in this solitary life. We give you praise. Stand up with me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Come on up, ma'am. Go ahead, be seated.
I originally written this poem on May 8, 2003. It's my father's special. My father's special as he can be. He loves his wife, family, and me. He's a hard-working man with a bright future and a successful family plan. He always starts his day out right with God on his mind and in his sight. Then he finds a prayer to say every day before he goes out each day. My father holds a high and important position and rank, and he always gives God special thanks while he supervises and advises all who work under him. My father is a great leader and provider for my mother, brothers, sisters, and me. He provides us with a good education so we are headed in the right direction for a successful life. My father's love is unconditional and real, and I feel like he will always be near. I love my father who God blessed me with from up above, especially from me. My father takes the time to rest and play each day, and I wouldn't want it any other way. For I love my father more and more each day of the year, and I'm so glad he holds me so close in his heart and so dear. For my father has that warm and special touch, which I need, enjoy, and love so very much. My father's special as he can be.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, as we go down from this place, I'm going to sing a chorus of Blessed Assurance, and then I want you all to help me sing it, okay? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, of God, born of his spirit, and I'm washed in his blood. So this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Oh,
Stand up with me, please. We have some refreshments in the back. We have a sign-in book. And for the representation of the family, we thank you for coming today. We thank you for spending this time in this memorial. And most of all, we want to just thank Jesus, don't we? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, we are dismissed. Thank you.